Hello and welcome to the Believer's Toolbox. On the Believer's Toolbox, we teach God's Word in a simple way, giving you tools to walk in victory, the basic tools of our Christian faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. We started a series a few weeks ago titled The ABCs of Redemption, teaching the basics of redemption, helping you to understand what redemption means, what does it mean to be saved, helping you to able to talk to your friends about it. One of the things I found out, or one of the things I experienced, was that when I first got born again, I still had friends and associations of people that were not Christians, and sometimes we got into arguments and discussions, and they just wanted to prove to me that I wasn't different from them, that nothing had changed in my life. Because now I started going to church, it doesn't mean that I changed or I was better than them. And I noticed that it was a bit of a struggle initially, but it's so important that every new believer understands what it means to be redeemed, what it means to be saved, what it means to receive Jesus, what does it mean to get born again, and being able to explain it at least to your friends and your family members. It's a very critical part of your spiritual growth, and that's why I started this series, to help young believers, new believers to the Christian faith, understand the basis of redemption, what it is, and how to navigate those questions. This is just the first part of it. There are other things I'm still going to talk about. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your precious Holy written word. Lord, I ask that you would grant me utterance, Lord, for the people to hear the word and understand it. And I pray for the listeners also that you grant them understanding, revelation, knowledge. Let the word be sown into their hearts, into their spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's go to our key text, Romans chapter 3, from verse 23 to 25. I'm reading the NIV version of the Bible. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." This is very important. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, redemption, it's by faith. Two key things you should remember from this, our key text. Redemption is in Christ Jesus, and redemption is by faith. I'll take it again. Redemption is in Christ Jesus, and redemption is by faith. These are very key fundamentals in our Christian walk. You must understand that you got saved not by your works, not by your ability, not by your own self-righteousness, but you got saved by Christ dying for you on the cross. Redemption is in Christ Jesus and Christ alone. And it is received and obtained by faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I like the International Children's Bible, the ICB. It says the payment for sin is death, but God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus. But God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus. So there's a payment for sin. And that's why Christ had to die for us. The payment for sin had to be done. It could not be overlooked in eternity. God could not overlook the payment for sin. And that's why Jesus came to die for us, because that payment had to be made. That payment had to be made. and we could not pay it for ourselves. No human is worthy of paying for his sins. You can't pay for your sins. And that's why Jesus came to die for us. You know, it's very important you understand this, because redemption itself means to buy out, to buy back. To buy out, to buy back. It speaks of ransom, like slaves are bought from a slave market. You know, it means to set free, to gain possession of. So to repurchase. And that's why the word, the payment of sin is death. So there had to be a payment for sin. And Jesus made that payment. And that's how redemption came. If Jesus didn't make that payment, then no one would have been saved. So in practical terms, the whole world, everyone born in this world, our sins have been paid for. And that's why salvation is the easiest thing to have. Being a Christian is the easiest thing, because the only thing you have to do is to receive Jesus. To become born again, the only thing you've got to do is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That payment had been done. Someone else had paid for it. Imagine you go into a restaurant, for example, and you made an order. And after you finish eating, someone else took the bill, paid for the bill. Would you not be glad? Would you not be excited? Same thing. We committed the sin. We have the sin nature, but Jesus paid for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in today's series, we want to see what really happened. How did Jesus pay for this sin? What did he do? How did this whole payment process, this redemption process, how did it happen? We're going to dive a little bit deeper into that today. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. It says, the NIV says, but he was pierced for our rebellion. Jesus was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We felt we have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. These two verses alone is so touching. You know, verse 5 says, he was pierced for our rebellion. Crushed for our sins. Crushed. So something happened to Jesus. His physical body, his soul, his spirit. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. You don't have to go through that emotional wreck anymore. Jesus was beaten so you could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. You don't need to carry that sickness on your body. Or should I say this way, you can believe God for your healing because you know Jesus paid the price for your health. All this happened on the cross, and Isaiah was prophesying it. He was speaking about the future, what Jesus was going to do. The prophet saw the future. God gave him a revelation of the future, and he began to prophesy and talk about the Messiah coming. Verse 7, he says, he was oppressed and treated harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Oh boy. And as a sheep, he's silent before the shearer. He did not open his mouth. Verse 8, he unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants. Jesus never had descendants. So if you ever watch a movie, I read a book that tells that Jesus was married and had kids, that is a lie. The Bible lets us know that Jesus never had descendants. That, let's continue to read, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. All these things Jesus went through was for us. So why don't you want to take the whole package? Why don't you want him to... He has paid the bill already. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 9. And he had done no wrong, and he had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. Jesus was buried. If you've ever read about or watched the movie about the crucifixion of Jesus, is nothing compared to what he went through. He was put in a rich man's grave, verse 10. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life was made an offering for sin. Jesus' life was made an offering for our sin. His life was the payment for our sin. Jesus, his life was the payment for our sin. So our sins have been paid for in Christ Jesus. It's so important you understand this as a new believer, that your sins have been paid for in Christ. Just some other time, we're going to talk about the doctrine of righteousness. But just to let you know that if you have this understanding, even when you make mistakes as a young believer, you will always remember that your sins have been paid for. Jesus was the offering for the sins of the whole human race. So it doesn't matter whether you're white or black. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your gender. Your sins have been paid for. Your sins have been paid for. Jesus paid for your sins. He paid for mine. He paid for yours. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 27, from verse 15. Let's read about what happened to Jesus on the cross. We just want to have an understanding of that story, of what really happened, have a picture of what happened to him. Verse 15 says, now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. You know, they had accused Jesus wrongly because they were envious of him. The Pharisees were envious of Jesus. He said he was the Son of God. He said he was the Messiah. And that got them really upset. They were so angry, they wanted him dead. So angry that they wanted him dead. And they lied against him, brought wrong accusations against him, and took him to the governor. And look at what happened. Let's read again from verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. Verse 16. At that time, he had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. Verse 17. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? Oh my goodness. Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? It was the custom for the governor to give pardon to criminals. And oh my God, and our own Lord Jesus was tagged as a criminal. Now the governor knew that these guys just had envy against Jesus and they wanted him dead. So he asked them, look, I'm gonna give pardon to someone today. Is it Jesus of Barabbas or Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus of Barabbas was a named criminal, was a rebel, was a hardened criminal. And this was Jesus that was the Savior of the world, the Son of God himself. Look at what happened. Verse 18. For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. The governor knew. He knew their motives. Verse 19. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Do not have anything to do with that innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. The lady, the wife of the governor, had encounters that made her to know that this man is innocent and we should have nothing to do with his death. Verse 20. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. You know, just a detour from what we're talking about. A lot of people think that the majority, some even say the majority is the voice of God. Not true. Majority doesn't mean they are right. Look at what happened here. They say that the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd. So then the crowd was wrongly influenced. They were influenced by the wrong motives of the Pharisees, and persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. 21. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas? They answered. Barabbas, Barabbas. What shall I do? Verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Can you imagine? The man that was innocent was sent to death, and the one that was a rebel was kept alive. This is a perfect picture of our redemption. Jesus, the Lamb, the innocent Lamb, the righteous one, took our place. This is the story of redemption. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The rebel, Jesus Barabbas, was set free, and Jesus, the Messiah, was crucified. He took the place of the criminal. This is a perfect picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took our place as sinners. He took our place as criminals. He took our place that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we might have redemption, and he will pay the price for us. In verse 23, it says, why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I'm innocent of the man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. Verse 25. All the people answered, his blood is on us and our children. Oh my goodness, what a curse they put on themselves. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged, handed over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Verse 29. Then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. They knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail Jesus, the King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. Can you imagine this is happening to our Savior? Jesus, the one that worked miracles, walked on water. All the things he did. But because of his love for humanity, his love for the man that God had created that fell, his love for us, he kept all his power aside and went to the cross and suffered such humiliation. If you read all the way down, you know, he talks about all the things they did to him. All the things. I encourage you to go read up Matthew chapter 27 and you get a full grasp of what Jesus went through. Praise God. Hallelujah. But let me go to verse 48. It says, immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with the wine and vinegar, put it on the staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. So Jesus died. It was not just an imagination. It was not just a story. It wasn't just people making up, you know, fantasy. Jesus died that's what I want to emphasize here. Verse 50, the Bible says he gave up his spirit. He died. Verse 50, 51 says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the tomb, from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rock split, verse 52. And the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Lots of things happened on that day. Oh, I don't want to go into them. So many miraculous wonders happened the day Jesus died. Praise God. But it's important you understand all this. That Jesus really died. He suffered. He was whipped. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Praise God. It's so important you have this understanding. A few things, as I begin to bring this to a wrap, a few things I want to help you to identify and have a knowledge of your spirit of what Jesus did for us on the cross and what happened to us. When he died, what happened to us? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 68, it says, we were therefore buried with him through the baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, and that's why I read above how he died, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his. For verse 6, for we know that our Lord, our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. One of the things you must have in your spirit is that when Christ died, you died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. Praise God. And now that he lives, we live with him with a new life. It's so important. It's called the law, you know, of substitution. When he died, we died with him. When he resurrected, we resurrected with him. It's important. It says, we were therefore buried with him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now we live a new life. Now we don't live a life that is controlled by sin anymore. Now we don't live a life that is condemned by sin anymore. No, now we live a new life. Very important. We understand this. There's something else I want to bring out, is that we are also alive with him now. We are also alive with him. Very important. You know, verse 8 of Romans 6 again says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. So we are alive with Christ. Your spirit is now alive. Your spirit was once dead, but now your spirit is now alive. No, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15 says, when you were dead in your sins and in your circumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Verse 14. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Remember our first scripture. For the payment of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Now the Bible lets us know that it has been canceled. Having canceled the charge of legal indebtedness, this means our sins, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. No more condemnation, child of God. We don't owe the devil anything. I'll say it again. No more condemnation, child of God. We don't owe the devil anything anymore. We don't owe the devil anything. No, our sin has been paid for. In fact, we don't owe God the payment for sin anymore. We don't owe God the payment of sin. Why? Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. We don't owe God, we don't owe the devil. Jesus has paid the price. And now that he has paid the price, we are alive with him. Praise God. The legal indebtedness, the charge has been canceled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you receive Jesus into your heart, then there's no condemnation for you anymore. And that's why I said, we don't owe God, we don't owe the devil. The payment of sin has been done. Complete. Complete payment. There's no other sacrifice for sin. Jesus has paid it all. I can't say that enough. Praise God. But there's something else I want for you to understand and have a knowledge of. Is that we are not just, our sins have not just been paid for, we have also been delivered from the power of Satan. We have also been delivered from the power of Satan. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. It says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves. We have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Satan has no rule, no power over us anymore. Are you hearing me? Satan has no power over you, child of God. He has no power over me, child of God. The Bible says we'll be rescued from the dominion of darkness, from the control of darkness, from the power of darkness. Jesus has rescued us. When he died and went to hell, he rescued us from the power. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I'm free. Say it again. Say, I'm free. I'm free from the power of darkness. I'm free from the power of darkness. Glory to God. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Very important that you understand that. Let me say this to you. One of the things that many young believers or those new to the Christian faith, is they have this fear of, look, I'm going to go back to my old ways. Yeah, I know I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I'm afraid I won't be able to keep up. No, Christianity is not about keeping up with rules and regulations. It's about having a life. Having the life of God in you. Having the life of Christ in you. That's what it's about. So don't entertain that fear of, oh, I'm going to backslide. I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to go back to living my old lifestyle. No. The life of God empowers you to live right. The life of God empowers you to live right. Let me read you a scripture before I pray with you. Jude chapter 24. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. He says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I'm excited. He says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. You don't have to be bothered about keeping yourself from falling. No. When you receive this redemption, when you receive Jesus into your heart, you shouldn't, don't bother, don't think of keeping yourself from falling. No. The Bible says he is able to keep us from falling. He's the one that is keeping us from falling and to present us faultless. Hallelujah. Faultless. Faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. Let me read you the ICB, the International Children's Bible. It says, God is strong and can help you not to fall. God is strong. He can help you not to fall. God is the one helping us not to fall. It is not you now. You see, your self-righteousness could not save you. And it's not going to save you in Christianity. It couldn't get you eternal life. It couldn't get you redemption. It's not going to save you now. It's not. So don't depend on it. Depend on the ability of God depend on the righteousness of God, depend on the Holy Spirit to keep you. He says God is strong and can help you not to fall. He can bring you before His glory without any wrong in you and give you great joy. All glory to God. You know, some people are so afraid of rapture, afraid of the day of the judgment seat of Christ. They're afraid of when Christ comes, will I be holy? Will I have made it? Will my righteous acts measured up? Even now that I'm a Christian, the Bible lets us know that He will present us faultless. He has the ability to present us faultless. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lean on that grace. Lean on that grace. He has the ability to present us faultless. Glory to God. You know, verse 25 of the ICB says, He's the only God. He's the one who saves us. To Him be glory, greatness, power, authority through Jesus Christ our Lord for all time, past, now, and forever. Amen. 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 Let me share a prayer with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for whoever is listening right now. I ask that anyone that is afraid of falling, let the love of God rise up in your heart. Let the faith in you that have the ability to keep us from falling rise up in your hearts today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God bless you. I encourage you to listen to the previous episodes of this series. And I'll see you on the next episode of the Believer's Toolbox. God bless you.